He stepped toward Luce, then away. "You stay here." Then both boys thumped out of the library through the back exit Luce had used the night of the fire. She and Penn stood frozen to their spots. They stared at each other, jaws dropped. "Come on," Penn said, dragging Luce over to a window that looked out on the commons. They pressed their faces to the glass, rubbing away the fog of their breath. The rain was coming down in sheets. The field outside was dark, except for the light that came through the library windows. It was so muddy and slick, it was hard to see anything at all. Then two figures sprinted out to the center of the commons. Both of them were soaked instantly. They argued for a moment, then started circling each other. Their fists were raised again. Luce gripped the windowsill and watched as Cam made the first move, running at Daniel and slamming into him with his shoulder. Then a quick spinning kick to his ribs. Daniel keeled over, clutching his side. "Get up." Luce willed him to move. She felt like she'd been kicked herself. Every time Cam went at Daniel, she felt it in her bones. She couldn't stand to watch. "Daniel stumbled for a second there," Penn announced after Luce had turned away. "But he shot right up and totally clocked Cam in the face. Nice!" "You're enjoying this?" Luce asked, horrified. "My dad and I used to watch UFC," Penn said. "Looks like both of these guys have had some serious mixed martial art training." "Perfect cross, Daniel," she groaned. "Aw, man." "What?" Luce peered out again. "Is he hurt?" "Relax," Penn said. "Someone's coming to break up the fight, just when Daniel was bouncing back." Penn was right. It looked like Mr. Cole jogging across the campus. When he got to where the guys were fighting, he stood still and watched them for a moment, almost hypnotized by the way they were going at it. "Do something," Luce whispered, feeling sick. Finally, Mr. Cole grabbed each boy by the scruff of his neck. The three of them struggled for a moment until finally Daniel pulled away. He shook out his right hand, then paced in a circle and spat a few times into the mud. "Very attractive, Daniel," Luce said sarcastically. Except it was. Now for a talking to from Mr. Cole. He waved his hands madly at them and they stood with heads hung. Cam was first to be dismissed. He jogged off the field toward the dorm and disappeared. Mr. Cole placed a hand on Daniel's shoulder. Luce was dying to know what they were talking about, whether Daniel would be punished. She wanted to go to him, but Penn blocked her. "All that over a piece of jewelry. What did Cam give you, anyway?" Mr. Cole walked off, and Daniel was alone, standing in the light from an overhead lamppost, looking up at the rain. "I don't know," Luce told Penn, leaving the window. "Whatever it is, I don't want it, especially not after this." She walked back to the computer table and pulled the box from her pocket. "If you won't, I will," Penn said. She cracked the box open, then looked up at Luce, confused. The flash of gold they'd seen had not been jewelry. There were only two things inside the box, another one of Cam's green guitar picks and a golden slip of paper. "Meet me tomorrow after class. I'll be waiting at the gates. See." 15. The Lion's Den. It had been a long time since Luce had taken a good look in the mirror. She never used to mind her reflection, her clear hazel eyes, small straight teeth, thick eyelashes, and tumble of dense black hair. That was then, before last summer. After her mom had chopped off all her hair, Luce had started avoiding mirrors. It wasn't just because of her short cut. Luce didn't think she liked who she was anymore, so she didn't want to see any evidence. She started looking down at her hands when she washed them in the bathroom. She kept her head forward when walking past tinted windows and eschewed face powder in mirrored compacts. But 20 minutes before she was supposed to meet Cam, Luce stood before the mirror in the empty girls' bathroom in Augustine. She guessed she looked all right. Her hair was finally growing out, and the weight was starting to loosen some of her curls. She checked her teeth, then squared her shoulders and stared into the mirror, as if she were looking Cam in the eye. She had to tell him something important, and she wanted to make sure she could muster a look that demanded he take her seriously. He hadn't been in class today. Neither had Daniel, so Luce assumed Mr. Cole had put them both on some sort of probation. Either that, or they were nursing their wounds. But Luce had no doubt Cam would be waiting for her today. She didn't want to see him. Not at all. Thinking about his fists slamming into Daniel made her stomach lurch. But it was her fault they'd fought in the first place. She'd led Cam on, and whether she'd done it because she'd been confused or flattered or the tiniest bit interested didn't matter anymore. What mattered was that she be direct with him today. There was nothing between them. She took a deep breath, tugged her shirt down on her hips, and pushed open the bathroom door. Approaching the gates, she couldn't see him. But then, it was hard to see anything beyond the construction zone in the parking lot. Luce hadn't been back to the school entrance since they'd started the renovations there, and she was surprised at how complicated it was to maneuver across the ripped-up parking lot. She sidestepped potholes and tried to duck under the radar of the construction crew, waving off the asphalt fumes that never seemed to dissipate. There was no sign of Cam. For a second, she felt foolish, almost like she'd fallen for some kind of prank. The high metal gates were blistered with red rust. Luce looked through them at the dense grove of ancient elm trees across the road. She cracked her knuckles, thinking back to the time when Daniel had told her he hated it when she did that. But he wasn't here to see her do it. No one was. Then she noticed a folded piece of paper with her name on it. It was staked to the thick, gray-trunked magnolia tree next to the broken call box. "I'm saving you from social tonight. While the rest of our fellow students stage a Civil War reenactment, sad but true, you and I will paint the town red. A black sedan with a gold license plate will bring you to me. Thought we could both use a dose of fresh air. C." Luce coughed from the fumes. Fresh air was one thing, but a black sedan picking her up from campus? To bring her to him, like he was some sort of monarch who could just arrange on a whim for women to be fetched? Where was he, anyway? None of this was part of her plan. She'd agreed to meet Cam only to tell him that he was being too forward, and she really couldn't see herself getting involved with him. Because, although she'd never tell him, every time his fist had struck Daniel the night before, something inside her had flinched and started to boil. Clearly, she needed to nip this little thing with Cam in the bud. She had the gold serpent necklace in her pocket. It was time to give it back. Except now she felt stupid for assuming that Cam just wanted to talk. Of course he'd have something more up his sleeve. He was that kind of guy. The sound of car wheels slowing made Luce turn her head. A black sedan rolled to a stop in front of the gates. The tinted driver's side window rolled down, and a hairy hand came out and picked up the receiver from the call box outside the gates. After a moment, the receiver was slammed back into its cradle, and the driver just leaned on his horn. At last, the great, groaning metal gates parted, and the car pulled forward, stopping in front of her. The doors softly unlocked. Was she really going to get into that car and drive who knew where to meet him? The last time she'd stood at these gates had been to say goodbye to her parents. Missing them before they'd even pulled away, she'd waved from this very spot, next to the broken call box inside the gates, and, she remembered, she'd noticed one of the more high-tech security cameras, the kind with a motion detector zooming in on her every move. Cam couldn't have picked a worse spot for the car to pick her up. All of a sudden, she saw visions of a basement solitary confinement cell. Damp cement walls and cockroaches running up her legs. No real light. The rumors were still spreading through campus about that couple, Jules and Philip, who hadn't been seen since they'd sneaked out. Did Cam think Luce wanted to see him so badly she'd risk just walking off campus in plain view of the Reds? The car was still humming on the driveway in front of her. After a moment, the driver, a sunglasses-sporting man with a thick neck and thinning hair, extended his hand. In it was a small white envelope. Luce hesitated a second before stepping forward to take it from his fingers. Cam stationary. A heavy, creamy, ivory card with his name letter-pressed in decadent gold at the bottom left-hand corner.
Should have mentioned before, the red's been ducked. See for yourself. I took care of it, like I'll take care of you. See you soon, I hope.
Ducked? Did he mean... She dared a glance at the red. He did. A sharply cut black circle of duct tape had been placed cleanly over the lens of the camera. Luce didn't know how these things worked or how long it would take the faculty to find out, but in a weird way, she was relieved that Cam had thought to take care of it. She couldn't imagine Daniel thinking so far ahead. Both Callie and her parents were expecting phone calls this evening. Luce had read Callie's 10-page letter 3 times, and she had all the funny details memorized from her friends' weekend trips to Nantucket, but she still wouldn't have known how to answer any of Callie's questions about her life at Sword and Cross. If she turned around and went inside to pick up the phone, she didn't know how she'd begin to catch Callie or her parents up on the strange, dark twist the past few days had taken. Easier not to tell them at all, or not until she'd wrapped things up, one way or another. She slid into the sedan's plush beige leather back seat and buckled up. The driver put the car in gear without a word. "Where are we going?" she asked him.
"Little backwater place down the river. Mr. Briel likes the local color. Just sit back and relax, honey. You'll see."
Mr. Briel? Who was this guy? Luce never liked being told to relax, especially when it felt like a warning not to ask any more questions. Nonetheless, she crossed her arms over her chest, looked out the window, and tried to forget the driver's tone when he called her honey. Through the tinted windows, the trees outside and the gray paved road beneath them all looked brown. At the turning, whose westward fork led to Thunderbolt, the black sedan turned east. They were following the river toward the shore. Every now and then, when their path and the rivers converged, Luce could see the brackish brown water twisting beside them. 20 minutes later, the car slowed to a stop in front of a beat-up riverside bar. It was made of gray, rotting wood, and a swollen, waterlogged sign over the front door read, "Sticks," in jagged red, hand-painted letters. A strand of plastic pennants advertising beer had been stapled to the wood beam underneath the tin roof, a mediocre attempt at festivity. Luce studied the images silkscreened onto the plastic triangles, palm trees and tanned, bikini-clad girls with beer bottles at their grinning lips, and wondered when the last time had been when a real live girl had actually set foot in this place. 2 older punk rock guys sat smoking on a bench facing the water. Tired mohawks drooped over their middle-aged foreheads, and their leather jackets had the ugly, dirty look of something they'd been wearing since punk was new. The blank expressions on their tan, slack faces made the whole scene feel even more desolate. The swamp edging the 2-lane highway had begun to overwhelm the asphalt, and the road just sort of petered out into swamp grass and mud. Luce had never been out this far in the river marshes. As she sat, unsure what she'd do once she left the car, or whether that was even a good idea, the front door of Sticks banged open and Cam sauntered out. He leaned coolly against the screen door, one leg crossed over the other. She knew he couldn't see her through the tinted window of the car, but he raised his hand, like he could, and beckoned her toward him. "Here goes nothing," Luce muttered, before thanking the driver. She opened the door and was greeted by a blast of salty wind as she climbed the 3 steps to the bar's wooden porch. Cam's shaggy hair was loose around his face, and he had a calm look in his green eyes. One sleeve of his black T-shirt was pushed up over his shoulder, and Luce could see the smooth cut of his bicep. She fingered the gold chain in her pocket. "Remember why you're here." Cam's face showed no sign of the fight the night before, which made her wonder, immediately, whether Daniel's did. Cam gave her an inquisitive look, running his tongue along his bottom lip.
"I was just calculating how many consolation drinks I'd need if you stood me up today," he said, opening his arms for a hug.
Luce stepped into them. Cam was a very hard person to say no to, even when she wasn't totally sure what he was asking. "I wouldn't stand you up," she said, then immediately felt guilty,
knowing that her words came from a sense of duty, not the romance Cam would have preferred. She was there only because she was going to tell him she didn't want to be involved with him. "So, what is this place? And since when do you have a car service?"
"Stick with me, kid," he said, seeming to take her questions as compliments, as if she liked being whisked off to bars that smelled like the inside of a sink drain.
She was so bad at this kind of thing. Callie always said Luce was incapable of brutal honesty, and that was why she got herself stuck in so many crappy situations with guys whom she should have just told no. Luce was trembling. She had to get this off her chest. She fished in her pocket and pulled out the pendant. "Cam."
"Oh, good. You brought it."
He took the necklace from her hands and spun her around.
"Let me help you put it on."
"No, wait."
"There," he said. "It really suits you. Take a look."
He steered her along the creaking wooden floorboards to the window of the bar, where a number of bands had posted signs for shows. The Old Babies, Dripping with Hate, Housecrackers. Luce would rather have studied any of them than gaze at her reflection.
"See?"
She couldn't really make out her features in the mud-flecked windowpane, but the gold pendant gleamed on her warm skin. She pressed her hand to it. It was lovely, and so distinctive with its tiny hand-sculpted serpent snaking up the middle. It wasn't like anything you'd see at the boardwalk markets, where locals peddled overpriced crafts for tourists, State of Georgia souvenirs made in the Philippines. Behind her reflection in the window, the sky was a rich orange popsicle color, broken up by thin lines of pink cloud.
"About last night," Cam started to say.
She could vaguely see his rosy lips moving in the glass over her shoulder. "I wanted to talk to you about last night, too," Luce said, standing at his side. She could see the very tips of the sunburst tattoo on the back of his neck.
"Come inside."
Very tips of the sunburst tattoo on the back of his neck.
"Come inside," he said, guiding her back to the half-unhinged screen door. "We can talk in there."
The interior of the bar was wood-paneled, with a few dim orange lamps providing the only light. All sizes and shapes of antlers were mounted on the wall, and a taxidermied cheetah was poised over the bar, looking ready to lunge at any moment. A faded composite picture with the words Pulaski County Moose Club Officers, 1964-65, was the only other decoration on the wall, showcasing 100 oval faces, smiling modestly above pastel bow ties. The jukebox was playing Ziggy Stardust, and an older guy with a shaved head and leather pants was humming, dancing alone in the middle of a small raised stage. Besides Luce and Cam, he was the only other person in the place. Cam pointed to two stools. The worn green leather cushions had split down the middle, the beige foam bursting out like massive pieces of popcorn. There was already a half-empty glass at the seat Cam claimed. The drink in it was light brown and watered down with ice, beaded with sweat.
"What's that?" Luce asked. "Georgia moonshine," he said, taking a gulp. "I don't recommend it to start."
When she squinted at him, he said, "I've been here all day."
"Charming," Luce said, fingering the gold necklace. "What are you, 70? Sitting in a bar by yourself all day?"
He didn't seem obviously drunk, but she didn't like the idea of coming all the way out here to break things off with him, only to have him be too trashed to understand it. She was also starting to wonder how she'd get back to school. She didn't even know where this place was.
"Ouch!" Cam rubbed his heart. "The beauty of being suspended from class, Luce, is that no one misses you during class. I thought I deserved a little recovery time."
He cocked his head.
"What's really bothering you? Is it this place? Or the fight last night? Or the fact that we're getting no service?"
He raised his voice to shout the last words, loud enough to cause a huge, burly bartender to swing in from the kitchen door behind the bar. The barman had long, layered hair with bangs and tattoos that looked like braided human hair running up and down his arms. He was all muscle and must have weighed 300 pounds. Cam turned to her and smiled.
"What's your poison?"
"I don't care," Luce said. "I don't really have my own poison."
"You were drinking champagne at my party," Cam said. See who's paying attention?
He nudged her with his shoulder.
Your finest champagne over here, he told the bartender, who threw back his head and let out a snide, hacking laugh.
Making no attempt to card her or even to glance at her long enough to guess at her age, the bartender bent down to a small refrigerator with a sliding glass door. The bottles clinked as he dug and dug. After what seemed like a long time, he reemerged with a tiny bottle of fresh Annette. It looked like it had something orange growing around its base.
I accept no responsibility for this, he said, handing it over.
Cam popped the cork and raised his eyebrows at Luce. He poured the fresh Annette ceremoniously into a wine glass.
I wanted to apologize, he said. I know I've been coming on a little strong. And last night, what happened with Daniel? I don't feel good about that.
He waited for Luce to nod before he went on.
Instead of getting mad, I should have just listened to you. You're the one I care about, not him.
Luce watched the bubbles rise in her wine, thinking that if she were to be honest, she'd say it was Daniel she cared about, not Cam. She had to tell Cam. If he already regretted not having listened to her last night, maybe now he'd start to. She raised her glass to take a sip before she started in.
Oh, wait.
Cam put a hand on her arm.
You can't drink until we've toasted something.
He raised his glass and held her eyes.
What should it be? You pick.
The screen door slammed, and the guys who had been smoking on the porch came back in. The taller one, with oily black hair, a snub nose, and very dirty fingernails, took one look at Luce and started toward them.
What are we celebrating?
He leered at her, nudging her raised glass with his tumbler. He leaned close, and she could feel the flesh of his hip pressing into hers through his flannel shirt.
Baby's first night out. What time's curfew?
We're celebrating you taking your ass back outside right now, Cam said, as pleasantly as if he'd just announced it was Luce's birthday.
He fixed his green eyes on the man, who bared his small, pointed teeth and mouthful of gums.
Outside, huh? Only if I take her with me.
He grabbed for Luce's hand. After the way the fight with Daniel had broken out, Luce expected Cam would need little excuse to fly off the handle again, especially if he really had been drinking here all day. But Cam stayed remarkably cool. All he did was swat the guy's hand away with the speed, grace, and brutal force of a lion swatting a mouse. Cam watched the guy stumble back several steps. Cam shook out his hand with a bored look on his face, then stroked Luce's wrist where the guy had tried to grab it.
Sorry about that. You were saying about last night?
I was saying... Luce felt the blood drain from her face. Directly over Cam's head, an enormous piece of pitch dark had yawned open, stretching forth and unfolding from itself until it had become the largest, blackest shadow she had ever seen. An arctic gush of air blasted from its core, and Luce felt the shadow's frost even on Cam's fingers, still tracing her skin.
"Oh, my God," she whispered.
There was a crash of glass as the guy smashed his tumbler down on Cam's head. Slowly, Cam stood from his chair and shook some of the shards of glass from his hair. He turned to face the man, who was easily twice his age and several inches taller. Luce cowered on her barstool, rearing away from what she sensed was about to happen between Cam and this other guy, and what she feared could happen with the sprawling, dead-of-night black shadow overhead.
"Break it up,"
the huge bartender said flatly, not even bothering to look up from his fight magazine. Immediately, the guy started swinging blindly at Cam, who took the senseless punches as if they were smacks from a child. Luce wasn't the only one stunned by Cam's composure. The leather-pants-wearing dancer was cowering against the jukebox. And after the oily-haired guy had socked Cam a few times, even he stepped back and hung there, confused. Meanwhile, the shadow was pooling against the ceiling, dark tendrils growing like weeds and dropping closer and closer to their heads. Luce winced and ducked just as Cam fended off one last punch from the seedy guy, and then decided to fight back.
It was just a simple flick of his fingers, as if Cam were brushing away a dead leaf. One minute, the guy was all up in Cam's face, but when Cam's fingers connected with his opponent's chest, the dude went flying, knocked off his feet and into the air, discarded beer bottles scattering in his wake, until his back slammed into the opposite wall near the jukebox. He rubbed his head and, moaning, began to pull himself into a crouch.
"How did you do that?"
Luce's eyes were wide. Cam ignored her, turned toward the guy's shorter, stockier friend, and said,
"You next."
The second guy raised his palms.
"Not my fight, man," he said, shrinking away.
Cam shrugged, stepped toward the first guy, and lifted him off the floor by the back of his T-shirt. His limbs dangled helplessly in the air, like a puppet's. Then, with an easy toss of his wrist, Cam threw the guy against the wall. He almost seemed to stick there while Cam cut loose, pounding the guy and saying again and again,
"I said go outside."
"Enough," Luce shouted, but neither one of them heard her or cared. Luce felt sick. She wanted to tear her eyes away from the bloody nose and gums of the guy pinned against the wall, from Cam's almost superhuman strength. She wanted to tell him to forget it, that she'd find her own way back to school. She wanted, most of all, to get away from the gruesome shadow now coating the ceiling and dripping down the walls. She grabbed her bag and ran out into the night and right into someone's arms.
"Are you okay?"
It was Daniel. "How did you find me here?" she asked, unabashedly burying her face in his shoulder. Tears she didn't want to deal with were welling up inside her.
"Come on," he said. "Let's get you out of here."
Without looking back, she slipped her hand into his. Warmth spread up her arm and through her body, and then the tears began to flow. It wasn't fair to feel so safe when the shadows were still so close. Even Daniel seemed on edge. He was dragging her across the lot so quickly she nearly had to sprint to keep up. She didn't want to glance back when she sensed the shadow spilling out of the door of the bar and brewing in the air. But then she didn't have to. They flowed in a steady stream over her head, sucking up all light in their path. It was as if the whole world were being torn to pieces right before her eyes. A rotting sulfur stench stuck in her nose, worse than anything she knew. Daniel glanced up, too, and scowled, only he looked like he was merely trying to remember where he'd parked. But then the strangest thing happened. The shadows flinched backward, boiled away in black splatters that pooled and scattered. Luce narrowed her eyes in disbelief. How had Daniel done that? He hadn't done that, had he?
"What?"
Daniel asked, distracted. He unlocked the passenger side door of a white tourist station wagon.
"Something wrong?"
"We do not have time for me to list all of the many, many things that are wrong," Luce said, sinking into the car seat.
"Look!"
She pointed toward the entrance to the bar. The screen door had just swung open on Cam. He must have knocked out the other guy, but he didn't look like he was done fighting. His fists were clenched. Daniel smirked and shook his head. Luce was fruitlessly stabbing her seatbelt again and again at the buckle until he reached over and pushed her hands away. She held her breath as his fingers grazed her stomach.
"There's a trick,"
he whispered, fitting the clasp into the base. He started the car, then backed out slowly, taking his time as they drove past the door to the bar. Luce couldn't think of a single thing to say to Cam, but it felt perfect when Daniel rolled down the window and simply said,
"Good night, Cam."
"Luce," Cam said, walking toward the car. "Don't do this. Don't leave with him. It will end badly."
She couldn't look at his eyes, which she knew were pleading for her to come back.
"I'm sorry."
Daniel ignored Cam entirely and just drove. The swamp looked cloudy in the twilight, and the woods in front of them looked even cloudier.
"You still haven't told me how you found me here," Luce said. "Or how you knew I went to meet Cam, or where you got this car."
"It's Miss Sophia's,"
Daniel explained, turning on the brights as the trees grew together overhead and threw the road into dense shadow.
"Miss Sophia let you borrow her car?"
After years living on Skid Row in L.A., he said, shrugging, you might say I've got a magic touch when it comes to borrowing cars.
You stole Miss Sophia's car?
Luce scoffed, wondering how the librarian would note this development in her files.
We'll bring it back, Daniel said.
Besides, she was pretty preoccupied by tonight's Civil War reenactment. Something tells me she won't even notice it's gone.
It was only then that Luce realized what Daniel was wearing. She took in the blue Union soldier's uniform with its ridiculous brown leather strap slung diagonally over his chest. She'd been so terrified at the shadows, of Cam, of the whole creepy scene, that she hadn't even paused to fully take Daniel in.
Don't you laugh, Daniel said, trying not to laugh himself. You got out of possibly the worst social of the year tonight.
Luce couldn't help herself. She reached forward and flicked one of Daniel's buttons. Shame, she said, putting on a southern drawl. I just had my belle of the ball gown pressed.
Daniel's lips crept up in a smile, but then he sighed. Luce, what you did tonight, things could have gotten really bad. Do you know that?
Luce stared out at the road, annoyed that the mood had shifted so suddenly back to grim. A hoot owl stared back from a tree.
I didn't mean to come here, she said, which felt true. It was almost like Cam had tricked her.
I wish I hadn't, she added quietly, wondering where the shadow was now.
Daniel banged his fist on the steering wheel, making her jump. He was gritting his teeth, and Luce hated that she was the one who'd made him look so angry.
I just can't believe you're involved with him, he said.
I'm not, she insisted. The only reason I showed up was to tell him... It was pointless. Involved with Cam. If Daniel only knew that she and Penn spent most of their free time researching his family, well, he would probably be equally annoyed.
You don't have to explain, Daniel said, waving her off. It's my fault, anyway.
Your fault?
By then, Daniel had turned off the road and brought the car to a stop at the end of a sandy path. He switched the headlights off, and they stared out at the ocean. The dusky sky was a deep plum shade, and the crests of the waves looked almost silver, sparkling. The beach grass whipped in the wind, making a high, desolate whistling sound. A flock of ragged seagulls sat in a line along the boardwalk railing, grooming their feathers.
"Are we lost?" she asked.
Daniel ignored her. He got out of the car and shut the door, started walking toward the water. Luce waited 10 agonizing seconds, watching his silhouette grow smaller in the purple twilight, before she hopped out of the car to follow him. The wind whipped her hair against her face. Waves beat the shore, tugging lines of shells and seaweed back in their undertow. The air was cooler by the water. Everything had a fiercely briny scent.
"What's going on, Daniel?" she said, jogging along the dune. She felt heavier walking in the sand. "Where are we, and what do you mean it's your fault?"
He turned to her. He looked so defeated, his costume uniform all bunched up, his gray eyes drooping. The roar of the waves almost overpowered his voice.
"I just need some time to think."
Luce felt a lump rising in her throat all over again. She'd finally stopped crying, but Daniel was making this all so hard.
Why rescue me, then? Why come all the way out here to pick me up, then yell at me, then ignore me?
She wiped her eyes on the hem of her black T-shirt, and the sea salt on her fingers made them sting.
Not that that's very different from the way you treat me most of the time, but...
Daniel spun and smacked both his hands to his forehead.
You don't get it, Luce.
He shook his head.
That's the thing. You never do.
There was nothing mean about his voice. In fact, it was almost too nice, like she was too dim to grasp whatever was so obvious to him, which made her absolutely furious.
I don't get it, she asked. I don't get it? Let me tell you something about what I get. You think you're so smart? I spent 3 years on a full academic scholarship at the best college prep school in the country, and when they kicked me out, I had to petition to keep them from wiping out my 4.0 transcript.
Daniel moved away, but Luce pursued him, taking a step forward for every wide-eyed step he took back. Probably freaking him out, but so what? He'd been asking for it every time he condescended to her. "I know Latin and French, and in middle school I won the science fair 3 years in a row." She'd backed him up against the railing of the boardwalk and was trying to restrain herself from poking him in the chest with her finger. She wasn't finished. "I also do the Sunday crossword puzzle, sometimes in under an hour. I have an unerringly good sense of direction, though not always when it comes to guys." She swallowed and took a moment to catch her breath. "And someday I'm going to be a psychiatrist who actually listens to her patients and helps people, okay? So don't keep talking to me like I'm stupid, and don't tell me I don't understand just because I can't decode your erratic, flaky, hot one minute, cold the next, frankly," she looked up at him, letting out her breath, "really hurtful behavior." She brushed a tear away, angry with herself for getting so worked up. "Shut up," Daniel said, but he said it softly and so tenderly that Luce surprised both of them by obeying. "I don't think you're stupid." He closed his eyes. "I think you're the smartest person I know, and the kindest, and..." He swallowed, opening his eyes to look directly at her. "The most beautiful." "Excuse me?" He looked out at the ocean. "I'm just so tired of this," he said. He did sound exhausted. "Of what?" He looked over at her with the saddest expression on his face, as if he had lost something precious. This was the Daniel she knew, though she couldn't explain how or from where. This was the Daniel she loved. "You can show me," she whispered. He shook his head, but his lips were still so close to hers, and the look in his eyes was so alluring. It was almost as if he wanted her to show him first. Her body quaked with nerves as she stood on her tiptoes and leaned toward him. She put her hand on his cheek, and he blinked, but he didn't move. She moved slowly, so slowly, as if she were scared to startle him, every second feeling petrified herself. And then, when they were close enough that her eyes were almost crossing, she closed them and pressed her lips against his. The softest, feather-light touch of their lips was all that connected them, but a fire Luce had never felt before coursed through her, and she knew she needed more of, all of, Daniel. It would be too much to ask of him to need her the same way, to fold her in his arms like he'd done so many times in her dreams, to return her wishful kiss with one more powerful. But he did. His muscled arms circled her waist. He drew her to him, and she could feel the clean line of their two bodies connecting, legs tangled up in legs, hips pressed into hips, chests heaving in time with each other. Daniel backed her up against the boardwalk's railing, pinning her closer to him until she couldn't move, until he had her exactly where she wanted to be. All of this without once breaking the passionate lock of their lips. Then he started to really kiss her. Softly at first, making subtle, lovely pecking noises in her ear, then long and sweet and tenderly, along her jawline and down her neck, making her moan and tilt back her head. He tugged lightly on her hair, and she opened her eyes to glimpse, for a second, the first stars coming out in the night sky. She felt closer to heaven than she ever had before. At last, Daniel returned to her lips, kissing her with such intensity, sucking her bottom lip, then edging his soft tongue just past her teeth. She opened her mouth wider, desperate to let more of him in, finally unafraid to show how much she yearned for him, to match the force of his kisses with her own. She had sand in her mouth and between her toes, the briny wind raising goosebumps on her skin, and the sweetest spellbound feeling spilling from her heart. She could, at that moment, have died for him. He pulled away and stared down at her, as if he wanted her to say something. She smiled up at him and pecked him softly on the lips, letting hers linger on his. She knew no words, no better way to communicate what she was feeling, what she wanted.
"You're still here," he whispered.
"They couldn't drag me away," she laughed. Daniel took a step back, and with a dark look at her, his smile was gone. He began pacing in front of her, rubbing his forehead with his hand. "What's wrong?" she asked lightly, pulling his sleeve so he'd come back in for another kiss. He ran his fingers over her face, through her hair, around her neck, like he was making sure she wasn't a dream. Was this her first real kiss? She didn't think she was supposed to count Trevor, so technically, it was. And everything felt so right, like she had been destined for Daniel and he for her. He smelled beautiful. His mouth tasted sweet and rich. He was tall and strong and slipping from her embrace. "Where are you going?" she asked. His knees bent, and he sank a few inches, leaning up against the wooden railing and looking at the sky. He looked like he was in pain.
"You said nothing could drag you away," he said in a hushed voice. "But they will. Maybe they're just running late."
"They? Who?" Luce asked, looking around at the deserted beach. "Cam? I think we lost him."
"No."
Daniel started walking away down the boardwalk. He was shivering.
"It's impossible."
"Daniel?"
"It will come," he whispered.
"You're scaring me." Luce followed behind, trying to keep up. Because suddenly, even though she didn't want to, she had a feeling she knew what he meant. Not Cam, but something else, some other threat. Luce's mind felt foggy. His words knocked on her brain, ringing eerily true, but the reasoning behind them eluded her. Like the wisp of a dream she couldn't remember the whole of. "Talk to me," she said. "Tell me what's going on." He turned, his face pale as the bloom of a peony, his arms held out in surrender.
"I don't know how to stop it," he whispered. "I don't know what to do."
16. Hanging in the Balance. Luce stood at the crossroads between the cemetery on the north side of campus and the path to the lake on the south. It was early evening, and the construction workers had gone home. Light sifted down through the branches of the oaks behind the gym, casting dappled shadows on the lawn that led to the lake, tempting Luce to ward it. She wasn't sure which way to go. She held two letters in her hands. The first, from Cam, was the apology she had expected, and a plea for her to meet him after school to talk it out. The second, from Daniel, said nothing other than, "Meet me at the lake." She couldn't wait to. Her lips still tingled from their kiss last night. She couldn't get the thought of his fingers in her hair or his lips on her neck out of her mind. Other parts of the night were hazier, like what had happened after she sat down next to Daniel on the beach. Compared to the way his hands had ravished her body not 10 minutes earlier, Daniel had seemed almost terrified to touch her. Nothing could shake him from his daze. He kept murmuring the same thing over and over.
"Something must have happened. Something changed."
And staring at her with pain in his eyes, as if she held the answer, as if she had any idea what his words meant. At last, she'd fallen asleep, leaning on his shoulder, looking out at the ethereal sea. When she woke up hours later, he was carrying her up the stairs back to her dorm room. She was startled to realize she'd slept through the whole ride back to school, and even more startled by the strange glow in the hallway. It was back. Daniel's light, which she didn't even know if he could see. Everything around them was bathed in that soft violet light. The white bumper-stickered doorways of the other students had taken on a neon hue. The dull linoleum tile seemed to glow. The windowpane looking out on the cemetery cast a violet shine on the first hint of dull yellow morning light outside. All of it directly under the gaze of the Reds. "We're so busted," she whispered, nervous and still half asleep.
"I'm not worried about the Reds,"
Daniel said calmly, following her eyes to the cameras. At first, his words were soothing, but then she started to wonder about something uneasy in his tone. If Daniel wasn't worried about the Reds, he was worried about something else. When he laid her down in her bed, he kissed her lightly on the forehead, then took a deep breath.
"Don't disappear on me," he said.
"No chance of that."
"I'm serious."
He closed his eyes for a long time.
"Get some rest now, but find me in the morning before class. I want to talk to you. Promise?"
She squeezed his hand to pull him to her for one last kiss. She held his face between her palms and melted into him. Every time her eyes flickered open, his were watching her. And she loved it. At last, he backed away and stood in the doorway gazing at her, his eyes still doing as much to make her heart race as his lips had done a moment before. When he slinked back into the hallway and closed the door behind him, Luce drifted off into the deepest sleep. She'd slept through her morning classes and had awoken in the early afternoon, feeling reborn and alive. Not caring at all that she had no excuse for missing school. Only worried that she'd slept through meeting Daniel. She would find him as soon as she could, and he would understand. Around 2 o'clock, when it finally occurred to her to eat something, or maybe pop in on Miss Sophia's religion class, she grudgingly crawled out of bed. That was when she saw the 2 envelopes that had been slipped underneath her door, which set her back severely in her goal of leaving her room. She had to tell Cam off first. If she went to the lake before the cemetery, she knew she'd never be able to make herself leave Daniel. If she went first to the cemetery, her desire to see Daniel again would make her bold enough to say to Cam the things she'd been too nervous to say before. Before everything had gotten so scary and out of control last night. Pushing through her fears about seeing him, Luce started across the commons toward the cemetery. The early evening was warm, and the air was sticky with humidity. It was going to be one of those sweltering nights when the breeze from the distant sea never got strong enough to cool things down. There was no one out on campus, and the leaves on all the trees were still. Luce could have been the only thing at Sword and Cross that was actually on the move. Everyone else would be released from class, herded into the dining hall for dinner, and Penn, and possibly others, would be wondering about Luce by now. Cam was leaning up against the lichen-speckled gates of the cemetery when she got there. His elbows rested on the carved, vine-shaped iron posts, his shoulders hunched forward. He was kicking up a dandelion with the steel tip of his thick black boot. Luce couldn't remember seeing him look so internally consumed. Most of the time, Cam seemed to have a keen interest in the world around him. But this time, he didn't even look up at her until she was directly in front of him. And when he did, his face was ashen. His hair was flat against his head, and she was surprised to notice that he could have used a shave. His eyes rolled over her face as if focusing on each of her features required effort. He looked wrecked, not beaten up from the fight, but simply as if he hadn't slept in a few days.
"You came."
His voice was hoarse, but his words ended with a small smile. Luce cracked her knuckles, thinking he wouldn't be smiling much longer. She nodded and held up his letter. He reached for her hand, but she pulled her arm away, pretending she needed the hand to brush the hair from her eyes.
"I figured you'd be mad about last night," he said, pushing himself away from the gate.
He took a few steps into the cemetery, then sat cross-legged on a short gray marble bench among the first row of graves. He wiped the dirt and brittle leaves away, then patted the empty spot next to him.
"Mad?" she said. "That's generally why people storm out of bars."
She sat down facing him, cross-legged too. From up here, she could see the top branches of the enormous old oak down in the center of the graveyard, where she and Cam had had their afternoon picnic what seemed like a very long time ago.
"I don't know," Luce said. "More like baffled. Confused, maybe. Disappointed."
She shuddered at the memory of that seedy guy's eyes when he grabbed her, the sick flurry of Cam's fists, the deep black roof of shadow. "Why did you take me there? You know what happened when Jules and Philip snuck out."
Jules and Philip were morons whose every move was monitored by tracking wristbands. Of course they were going to get busted.
Cam smiled darkly, but not at her. "We're nothing like them, Luce. Believe me.
And besides, I wasn't trying to get in another fight."
He rubbed his temples, and the skin around them bunched up, looking leathery and too thin.
"I just couldn't stand the way that guy talked to you, touched you. You deserve to be handled with the utmost care."
His green eyes widened.
"I want to be the one to do it, the only one."
She tucked her hair behind her ears and took a deep breath. "Cam, you seem like a really great guy."
"Oh, no." He covered his face with his hand. "Not the let-him-down-easy speech. I hope you're not going to say we should be friends."
"You don't want to be my friend?"
"You know I want to be much more than your friend," he said, spitting out "friend" as if it were a dirty word. "It's Grigori, isn't it?"
She felt her stomach constrict.
She guessed it wasn't too hard to figure it out, but she'd been so wrapped up in her own feelings, she'd barely had time to consider what Cam thought about the two of them. "You don't really know either of us," Cam said, standing and stepping away. "But you're prepared to choose right now, huh?"
It was presumptuous of him to assume he was even still in the running, especially after last night, that he could think there was some contest between him and Daniel. Then Cam crouched before her on the bench. His face was different, pleading, earnest, as he cupped her hands in his. Luce was surprised to see him so wound up.
"I'm sorry," she said, pulling back. "It just happened." "Exactly, it just happened. What was it? Let me guess. Last night he looked at you some new romantic way. Luce, you're rushing into a decision before you even know what's at stake. There could be a lot at stake."
He sighed at the confused look on her face.
"I could make you happy."
"Daniel makes me happy."
"How can you say that? He won't even touch you."
Luce closed her eyes, remembering the tangle of their lips last night on the beach, Daniel's arms encircling her. The whole world had felt so right, so harmonious, so safe. But when she opened her eyes now, Daniel was nowhere to be seen. It was only Cam. She cleared her throat.
"Yes, he will. He does."
Her cheeks felt warm. Luce pressed a cool hand to them, but Cam didn't notice. His hands curled into fists.
"Elaborate."
"The way Daniel kisses me is none of your business." She bit her lip, furious. He was mocking her. Cam chuckled.
"Oh? I can do just as good as Grigori," he said, picking up her hand and kissing the back of it before abruptly letting it drop back at her side.
"It was nothing like that," Luce said, turning away.
"How about this, then?"
His lips grazed her cheek before she could shrug him off.
"Wrong."
Cam licked his lips.
"You're saying Daniel Grigori actually kissed you the way you deserve to be kissed?"
Something in his charcoal eyes was beginning to look baleful.
"Yes," she said, "the best kiss I've ever had."
And even though it had been her only real kiss, Luce knew that if you asked her again in 60 years, 100 years, she would say the same thing.
"And yet, here you are," Cam said, shaking his head in disbelief.
Luce didn't like what he was insinuating.
"I'm only here to tell you the truth about me and Daniel, to let you know that you and I..."
Cam burst out laughing, a loud, hollow cackle that echoed across the empty cemetery. He laughed so long and hard, he gripped his sides and wiped a tear away from his eyes.
"What's so funny?" Luce said. "You have no idea," he said, still laughing.
Cam's you-wouldn't-get-it tone wasn't far off from the one Daniel had used last night when, almost inconsolable, he kept repeating,
"It's impossible."
But Luce's reaction to Cam was entirely different. When Daniel walled her out, she felt even more of a pull toward him. Even when they argued, she yearned to be with Daniel more than she ever wanted to be with Cam. But when Cam made her feel like an outsider, she was relieved. She didn't want to be any closer to him. In fact, right now, she felt too close. She'd had enough. Gritting her teeth, she rose and stalked toward the gates, angry at herself for wasting even this much time. But Cam caught up to her, swinging around in front of her and blocking her exit. He was still laughing at her, biting his lip, trying not to. "Don't go," he chuckled. "Leave me alone." "Not yet." Before she could stop him, Cam caught her up in his arms and bent her backward into a sweeping dip so that her feet came off the ground. Luce cried out, struggling for a moment, but he smiled. "Let go of me."
"Grigori and I have fought a pretty fair fight so far, don't you think?"
She glared at him, her hands pushing against his chest. "Go to hell."
"You're misunderstanding," he said, drawing her face closer to his.
His green eyes bored down at her, and she hated that a part of her still felt swept away in his gaze.
"Look, I know things have gotten crazy the past couple of days," he said in a hushed voice. "But I care for you, Luce, deeply. Don't pick him before you let me have one kiss."
She felt his arms tighten around her, and suddenly she was scared. They were out of sight of the school, and no one knew where she was. "It won't change anything," she told him, trying to sound calm.
"Humor me? Pretend I'm a soldier, and you're granting my dying wish. I promise, just one kiss."
Luce's mind went to Daniel. She pictured him waiting at the lake, keeping his hands busy skipping stones over the water when he should have had her in his arms. She didn't want to kiss Cam, but what if he really wouldn't let her go? The kiss could be the smallest, most insignificant thing, the easiest way to break loose, and then she'd be free to get back to Daniel. Cam had promised. "Just one kiss," she started, but then his lips were on hers. Her second kiss in as many days. Where Daniel's kiss had been hungry and almost desperate, Cam's kiss was gentle and too perfect, as if he had been practicing on 100 girls before her. And yet, she felt something in her rise up, wanting her to respond, taking hold of the anger she'd felt only seconds before and blowing it away into nothing. Cam still had her tilted back in his arms, balancing all her weight on his knee. She felt safe in his strong, capable hands, and she needed to feel safe. It was such a change from, well, every moment when she wasn't kissing Cam. She knew that she was forgetting something, someone. Who? She couldn't remember. There was only the kiss and his lips and... Suddenly, she felt herself falling. She slammed into the ground so hard the wind was knocked out of her. Raising herself up in her arms, she watched as, a few inches away, Cam's face came into contact with the ground. She winced despite herself. The early evening sun cast a dusty light on two figures in the graveyard. "How many times must you ruin this girl?" Luce heard the sad southern drawl. "Gabby?" She looked up, blinking into the setting sun. "Gabby and Daniel." Gabby rushed over to help her to her feet, but Daniel wouldn't even look her in the eye. Luce cursed herself under her breath. She couldn't figure out what was worse, that Daniel had just seen her kissing Cam, or that, she was sure, Daniel was going to fight Cam again. Cam stood up and faced them, ignoring Luce completely.
"All right, which one of you is it going to be this time?" he snarled.
"This time?"
"Me," Gabby said, stepping forward with her hands on her hips. "That first little love tap was all me, Cam, honey. What you going to do about it?"
Luce shook her head. Gabby had to be joking. Surely this was some kind of game. But Cam didn't seem to think anything was funny. He bared his teeth and rolled up his sleeves, raising his fists and moving forward.
"Again, Cam?" Lou scolded him. "You haven't gotten in enough fights already this week?"
As if that weren't enough, he was actually going to hit a girl. He shot her a sideways smile.
"Third time's the charm," he said, his voice dripping malice.
He turned back just as Gabby came at him with a high kick to the jaw. Lou scurried backward as Cam fell. His eyes were pinched shut, and he was clutching his face. Standing over him, Gabby looked as unfazed as if she'd just pulled a perfectly baked peach cobbler from the oven. She glanced down at her nails and sighed.
"Gonna be ashamed to have to beat up on you just when I touched up my manicure."
"Oh, well," she said, proceeding to kick Cam repeatedly in the stomach, relishing each kick like a kid winning at an arcade game. He staggered up into a crouch. Luce couldn't see his face anymore. It was buried between his knees, but he was moaning in pain and choking on his own breath. Luce stood and looked from Gabby to Cam and back again, unable to make sense of what she was seeing. Cam was twice the size of her, but Gabby seemed to have the upper hand. Just yesterday, Luce had seen Cam beat up that huge guy at the bar. And the other night, outside the library, Daniel and Cam had seemed evenly matched. Luce marveled at Gabby, with a rainbow ribbon holding her hair back in a high ponytail. Now she had Cam pinned to the ground and was twisting his arm back.
"Uncle," she taunted,
"just say the magic word, sugar. I'll let you go."
"Never," Cam spat into the ground.
"I was hoping you'd say that," she said, and shoved his head down into the dirt, hard. Daniel put his hand on Luce's neck. She relaxed against him and looked back, terrified to see his expression. He must hate her right now.
"I'm so sorry," she whispered. "Cam, he..."
"Why would you come here to meet him?"
Daniel sounded hurt and incensed at the same time. He grabbed her chin to make her look at him. His fingers were freezing against her skin. His eyes were all violet, no gray. Luce's lip quivered.
"I thought I could take care of it. Be up front with Cam so that you and I could just be together and not have to worry about anything else."
Daniel snorted, and Luce realized how stupid she sounded.
"That kiss," she said, wringing her hands. She wanted to spit it from her mouth. "It was such a huge mistake."
Daniel closed his eyes and turned away. Twice he opened his mouth to say something, then thought better of it. He gripped his hair in his hands and swayed. Watching him, Luce feared he might cry. Finally, he took her in his arms.
"Are you mad at me?"
She buried her face in his chest and breathed in the sweet smell of his skin.
"I'm just glad we got here in time."
The sound of Cam's whimpers made both of them glance over, then grimace. Daniel took Luce's hand and tried to pull her away, but she couldn't take her eyes off Gabby, who had Cam in a headlock and wasn't even winded. Cam looked battered and pathetic. It just didn't make any sense.
"What's going on, Daniel?" Luce whispered. "How can Gabby kick the crap out of Cam? Why is he letting her?"
Daniel half sighed, half chuckled.
"He's not letting her. What you're seeing is only a sample of what that girl can do."
She shook her head. "I don't understand. How..."
Daniel stroked her cheek.
"Will you take a walk with me?" he asked. "I'm going to try to explain things, but I think you should probably sit down."
Luce had a few things of her own to come clean about to Daniel. Or, if not to come clean about, at least to throw out into the conversation to see if he showed signs of thinking she was completely, verifiably deranged. That violet light, for one thing, and the dreams she didn't want to stop. Daniel led her toward a part of the cemetery Luce had never seen before, a clear, flat space where two peach trees had grown together. Their trunks bowed toward each other, forming the outline of a heart in the air below them. He led her under the strange, gnarled coupling of the branches and took her hands,
tracing her fingers with his. The evening was quiet, except for the song of crickets. Luce imagined all the other students in the dining hall, spooning mashed potatoes onto their trays, slurping thick, room-temperature milk through a straw. It was as if, all of a sudden, she and Daniel were on a different plane of being from the rest of the school. Everything but his hand around hers, his hair shining in the light of the setting sun, his warm, gray eyes, everything else felt so far away.
"I don't know where to start," he said,
pressing harder as he massaged her fingers, like he could rub the answer out.
"There's so much to tell you, and I have to get it right."
As much as she wanted Daniel's words to be a simple confession of love, Luce knew better. Daniel had something difficult to say, something that might explain a lot about him, but might also be hard for Luce to hear. "Maybe do one of those I have good news and bad news kind of things," she suggested.
"Good idea. Which do you want first?"
"Most people want the good news first."
"Maybe so," he said, "but you are worlds away from most people."
"Okay, I'll take the bad news first." He bit his lip.
"Then promise me you won't leave before I get to the good news."
She had no plans to leave. Not now, now that he was no longer pushing her away. Not when he might be about to offer up some answers to the long list of questions she'd been obsessing over for the past few weeks. He brought her hands to his chest and held them against his heart.
"I'm going to tell you the truth," he said. "You won't believe me, but you deserve to know, even if it kills you."
"Okay." A raw knot of pain took hold of Luce's insides, and she could feel her knees start to shake. She was glad when Daniel made her sit down. He paced back and forth, then took a deep breath.
"In the Bible..."
Luce groaned. She couldn't help it. She had a knee-jerk reaction to Sunday school talk. Besides, she wanted to discuss the two of them, not some moralistic parable. The Bible wasn't going to hold the answers to any of the questions she had about Daniel.
"Just listen," he said, shooting her a look. "In the Bible, you know how God makes a big deal about how everyone should love him with all their soul? How it has to be unconditional and unrivaled?"
Luce shrugged. "I guess so."
"Well..."
Daniel seemed to be searching for the right words.
"That request doesn't only apply to people."
"What do you mean? Who else? Animals?"
"Sometimes, sure," Daniel said. "Like the serpent. He was damned after he tempted Eve, cursed to slither on the ground forever."
Luce shivered, thinking back to Cam. The snake. Their picnic. That necklace. She rubbed at her clean, bare neck, glad to be rid of it. He ran his fingers down her hair, along her jawline, and into the hollow of her neck. She sighed, in a state of bliss.
"I'm trying to say... I guess you could say I'm damned too, Luce. I've been damned for a long, long time."
He spoke as if the words tasted bitter.
"I made a choice once, a choice that I believed in, that I still believe in, even though..."
"I don't understand," she said, shaking her head.
"Of course you don't," he said,
dropping down onto the ground next to her.
"And I don't have the best track record at explaining it to you."
He scratched his head and lowered his voice, like he was speaking to himself.
"But all I can do is try. Here goes nothing."
"Okay," she said. He was confusing her, and he'd barely even said anything yet. But she tried to act less lost than she felt.
"I fall in love," he explained,
taking her hands and holding them tightly.
"Over and over again. And each time it ends catastrophically." "Over and over again."
The words made her ill. Luce closed her eyes and withdrew her hands. He'd already told her this, that day at the lake. He'd had breakups. He'd been burned. Why bring up those other girls now? It had hurt then, and it hurt even more now, like a sharp pain in her ribs. He squeezed her fingers.
Look at me, he pleaded. Here's where it gets hard.
She opened her eyes.
The person I fall in love with each time is you.
She'd been holding her breath and meant to exhale, but it came out as a sharp, cutting laugh.
Right, Daniel, she said, starting to stand up. Wow, you really are damned. That sounds horrible.
Listen.
He pulled her back down with a force that made her shoulder throb. His eyes flashed violet, and she could tell he was getting angry.
Well, so was she.
Daniel looked up into the peach tree canopy as if for help.
I'm begging you, let me explain.
His voice quaked.
The problem isn't loving you.
She took a deep breath.
What is it?
She willed herself to listen, to be stronger and not to feel hurt. Daniel looked like he was broken up enough for both of them.
I get to live forever, he said.
The trees rustled around them, and Luce noticed the faintest trickle of a shadow out of the corner of her eye. Not the sick, all-consuming swirl of blackness from the bar last night, but a warning. The shadow was keeping its distance, seething coldly around the corner, but it was waiting for her. Luce felt a deep chill down in her bones. She couldn't shake the sensation that something colossal, black as night, something final, was on its way.
I'm sorry, she said, dragging her eyes back to Daniel. Could you, say that again?
I get to live forever, he repeated.
Luce was still lost, but he kept talking, a stream of words pouring out of his mouth.
I get to live and to watch babies being born and grow up and fall in love. I watch them have babies of their own and grow old. I watch them die. I am condemned, Luce, to watch it all over again and again. Everyone but you.
His eyes were glassy. His voice dropped to a whisper.
You don't get to fall in love.
But, she whispered back, I've fallen in love.
You don't get to have babies and grow old, Luce.
Why not?
You come along every 17 years.
Please.
We meet. We always meet. Somehow we're always thrown together, no matter where I go, no matter how I try to distance myself from you. It never matters. You always find me.
He was staring down at his clenched fists now, looking like he wanted to hit something, unable to raise his eyes.
And every time we meet, you fall for me.
Daniel!
I can resist you or flee from you or try my hardest not to respond to you, but it makes no difference. You fall in love with me and I with you.